Welcome to Hope Talks Podcast with Grayson Willis and Pastor Margaret Michael, where you'll hear inspiring stories that are filled with hope and good news in Jesus Christ. You can also search for our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn. We would love your feedback and invite you to take a short anonymous survey. You can find the link to the survey in the show notes.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in today. And today we're joined by Pastor Adrian Mills. Pastor Adrian, how are you doing today?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Happy Palm Sunday. Happy Passion Week.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we're here to talk about today. Pastor Adrian, if you just want to start out sharing scripture and your thoughts on Passion Week and Palm Sunday.
Yeah, I think there's so much about Passion Week that has been said and shared, and one of the beauties of this week and of the story is that the story doesn't change, right? And so sometimes in ministry, we want to find creative ways, and I think that's good, but it's also kind of a refreshing reminder that the story is still the same redemption story. But I was thinking a little bit and wanted to share for a minute. We've, throughout the Lent kind of season, we've been talking a little bit about untold stories these last couple weeks leading up to. And so there was one related to this. Now, not the triumphal entry necessarily. I know that's what this day represents. But really, for me, Palm Sunday also represents that the entire, you know, the journey of what's coming this week. And so there's one particular character that stood out to me. Maybe everyone listening today is an expert on this person, but I've never gotten to preach a message on him and haven't studied extensively his life. And that's Simon of Cyrene. What's interesting, as I was studying, many that are listening today know that the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, there are plenty of things that are different in the Gospels, plenty of stories, foundational stories that don't occur in every Gospel. In fact, if you were to make a list of the things that happen in all of the, even just synoptic Gospels, the list is shorter than you might think. There's not even a birth narrative. Well, there is, but in, for instance, in John's Gospel, the birth narrative is just about the light, and he, you know, so when you look at that, but if you look at just Matthew, Mark, and Luke in their account, all three of them mention Simon of Cyrene, which again, you may not think is that unusual, but if you study and you look at the synoptic gospels and put them side by side, pretty often, even when the similar story, of course, all of them are going to talk about the crucifixion of Jesus, but so often there are specific details that are not necessarily shared, but he's there in each story. And so I'm going to read just from Luke's gospel. It's only four or five verses. Again, we know that the much greater story, I would encourage you to spend some time in this Holy Week reading that. I'm just going to read a few verses from Luke 23. And it just says this, starting in verse 23, Luke 23:23. But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified. And their shouts prevailed. That part's interesting too, right? Their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. So here we see, right, this Barabbas, not mentioned here by name, but he's released, the murderer, the one who was guilty, the one who was a criminal, is released. And Jesus, of course, who was innocent, and is now sentenced to death. And so it says in verse 26, as the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country. They put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. What's interesting, if you look at the other gospels, so Matthew's account, I won't read it. I encourage it's Matthew 27. If you want to follow along, read that. Very, you know, specific mention of him. Mark 15, it's there again. And none of them talk extensively about who Simon is. That's probably why I've never preached a message on him. He's mentioned every time, but all we know is that it's Simon. He's from Cyrene. He was kind of in his way. He was journeying in, you know, probably knowing nothing about what was happening. So I said all of that to say, every time I'm on this journey to Easter, and yes, it's the same story, but I'm always praying, Lord, give me fresh eyes. What's something you want me to see? And so this year, as I've just been, we as a church have been looking at different stories. I'm thinking specifically about Simon's story. There's so many perspectives during Holy Week we can have, but I've just been thinking a little bit about why was his story so important that all three of the Synoptic Gospels put him there? They don't say much about him. It's one sentence, but every single one, you know, that by name they say, here he was Simon from Cyrene. He was journeying in from the country he had to carry. And so suffice it to say that they thought that was important enough. This is a significant enough moment, and his role in this moment was significant enough. And so it's just, it has me, again, I said this longest intro ever, right? To just be thinking about that idea of carrying the cross of Jesus. Yes, that was a physical responsibility. Jesus was so weak at that point. They had beat him and whipped him and flogged him that more than likely he couldn't physically do it. But here's a man who, you know, he was a foreigner. We know that about him. There's some things that we do know about him that we can read. He was an African, right? So more than likely he knew very little about Jesus. We don't believe at all that he had ever met him. This was not one of his disciples or followers. Yeah. He was a foreigner, an outsider. But this is the one who carries the cross of Jesus. And so there's all kinds of parallels that we can talk about today of that. But I've just been fascinated by these stories. More than likely, listening today, you've heard of Simon. I'm sorry, you know the story, but I don't know how often I've really thought about, wow, his story, his moment, his one verse is so important that it's there in all three of the Gospels, because this is a man, maybe didn't know Jesus at all, maybe didn't understand at all what was happening, but was tasked with carrying the cross of the Savior of the world. And that's really got me thinking about, of course, two things we can unpack together. First is the symbolism of that. It was my cross he bore. It was our cross he bore. Simon probably didn't really understand that in the way that many, maybe this Easter season, may not totally understand. They may think Easter is about bunnies and eggs and, oh yeah, Jesus and the cross. They may not really understand. It was your cross, our cross, that he bore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then what's really interesting is the call of Jesus. Jesus didn't shy away when he talked to his followers about he called them to carry their cross, which again, that was long before this moment, right, in the Gospels, and the disciples didn't totally understand what that meant. But just, so there's just some rich symbolism there. Yes. Of identifying, I'm identifying with, wow, Simon was doing he's carrying my cross. That was my cross that Jesus ultimately would be nailed to and die upon. But then that also the symbolism of our call as disciples to carry a cross that's heavy and hard. We don't have to carry that cross, as Jesus paid the price, but we are called to take up our cross and follow. And so there's a lot there that we can unpack today, but that's just been on my heart and mind as we enter into this Holy Week.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, there's nowhere in there that Simon argued.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
He takes it.
Yeah.
And he didn't probably know how long he'd have to carry it, you know, like if he's a passerby. So I just think about that, the implications of when we say yes, we don't know what that'll always look like.
And crosses weren't small. That wasn't some small task that he was asked to do. And I find correlations, Pastor Adrian, as you were sharing about Simon of Cyrene. Last week, I had Brian Shred on, and we were talking about learning obedience through suffering. And he was certainly obedient, and certainly carrying a cross was not easy. Certainly, there was some pain. And I wonder if he saw the suffering of Jesus and was like, well, all they're asking me to do is carry a cross. Compared to what the suffering he's going through, the least I could do is carry this cross. We don't know, but that's just some thoughts that I go through my mind.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think, you know, that first point is one I don't want to miss, that it was our cross that Jesus ultimately bore, you know. And while even Simon, who carried the cross for him, he ultimately got to put that cross down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for all we know, Liv went on to live his life. Mm-hmm. And maybe forever impact, we don't know. But he still didn't have to pay the price that Jesus did.
That's right.
He still didn't.
Right.
His story will forever be connected. But I just think about the magnitude of that, the weight, the cost, that journey towards the cross, and this man who played such a pivotal role, and being reminded, you know, there was a weight, there was a heaviness to it, and it cost Jesus everything. And so I don't ever want to forget that. I'm contradicting myself a bit because I'm saying I like to find new ways for the story to come alive, but at the same time, I don't want to miss the eternal truth that it was my cross he bore. It was my sin that he paid. And I don't want to get so nuanced in the scripture that I just miss the main thing. Like, Jesus, he paid the price on the cross for me. And so that's still powerful. It's still true. And no matter where you are in your journey listening today, that's still true for you. That was your cross. That was your, you know, again, we talked last year, actually, as our church gathered for Good Friday service, we talked a lot about Barabbas,
right?
And identifying with, you know, there's someone else in the story that maybe, again, we talk about often, but it was just a brief mention there. In fact, Luke's gospel I just read, they don't even mention him by name. They released the man who'd been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder. We know from the other gospels that was Barabbas, but we identify with him in the story, right? We're the guilty ones. We're the ones that deserve the punishment, that deserve, you know, the wages of sin is death, is what that's what we deserve. And yet we're told, hey, take the chains off. He's getting your punishment. Right. And figuratively, and in our case, quite literally. And so that's just a truth that I don't ever want to miss. I don't want to take for granted those that are listening today know that and have experienced that truth, because it can and will change our life.
Yeah. You know, I think here on Good Friday, over the years, we've taken some time and carried the cross.
Yeah.
Right? Up Port Road.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And just that remembrance of what Jesus did for us. But I'm thinking about Simon of Cyrene and that. That's exactly what he was doing, was carrying that cross from point A to point B for the distance that.
And that's what's interesting, too, because kind of the part two of this is, how do we identify, you know, the Apostle Paul, when he said, I've been crucified with Christ. I don't think Paul was confused and thought that Jesus's sacrifice wasn't sufficient for him. I don't think he thought, well, I better, you know, I've got to get crucified too. He was so identifying with, you know, this act of love and sacrifice and surrender. And, you know, again, when we read Jesus's call, take up your cross, we see the call to be a disciple isn't an easy call. It's not a safe, you know, it's a word that makes us a little uncomfortable. We say it's not safe. Like, oh, really? But that call isn't. It's not safe. It's not easy. That Jesus was calling us, and then Paul later, as he's reflecting on the life and ministry of Jesus, they're identifying with the cross. They're pointing us back to this moment and saying, yeah, to be a disciple is to suffer. Not hey, Lord, I'm not desiring any unnecessary suffering, right? But we can't run from, we can't be surprised. We shouldn't be surprised by suffering, because the call to be a disciple is going to be a call of taking up a cross, carrying a cross, being crucified with Christ, being so to the point of surrender that we die to self. And that's not a call that's always real attractive to a world where we want to live for me, and we want to do our thing, and we want to live a life that feels good, and you know, that's happy, and there's nothing wrong with being happy. There's nothing wrong with, but ultimately the call to be a disciple is not a call that's going to make us feel good all the time. It's not a call to do the easy thing. And so I think we can't lose that in this story. Yes, Jesus paid the price. We don't have to pay, but his call is not an easy call. And so that's a challenging, and it should challenge us. I don't think I should ever get to a place in my life where that call and the words of Jesus and the words of Paul and others that reflect on it later doesn't really challenge me. I don't have to wrestle with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and you mentioned something a little bit ago about how you try to see things in a new way, but sometimes we need a reminder about the things, about the huge sacrifice that he made for us and how he, you know, he carried our cross and ultimately paid the price for our sins. And that's something and sometimes characters like Simon of Cyrene or Barabbas, just those visuals, us putting ourselves, kind of seeing their stories and putting ourselves in the shoes of those characters to realize kind of visually what God did for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think about Jesus, you know, it wasn't easy for him either. You know, I think about him in the garden saying, you know, Father, if you can take this cup from me, take it, yet not my will, but yours be done. And isn't that being crucified with Christ for us? What we see in the natural, we see Jesus live this out, this sacrifice, becoming willing to give up everything, leave heaven, come to earth, walk, and interact with the world, with people and with nature and with dust and rain and, you know, all the things, hunger, like the things that we now do, you know, we engage the world, but he did that and he came and walked through this world, walked with the hurt and the broken. He sat with them. He had such compassion and he showed us such a beautiful example of what it means to be like Christ. But then he kept trying to tell the disciples, you know, I'm not going to be here. I'm like, what do you mean? And he stretches his arms out on a cross. And our Lent reading that we're doing with our life groups, just recently I was reading and it was talking about, it was not the nails that held him there, but it was the love that held him there. And that picture, and so we have a picture of someone giving their life literally for us. And Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. And it becomes in the spiritual sense of, this is what we do. We put our hands out. You know, we don't white knuckle the things that we want or that we don't want to happen. Right. We have to learn to allow our palms, you know, to be open and our fingers not to be clenched.
I really think of the words, I've been reflecting on this a lot in my personal life. I've been sharing some with the church and staff, but several weeks ago I got to just preach on that passage, you know, Jesus is called to lay down our life. And as you were talking, I was thinking, they didn't take Jesus's life from him. He laid it down.
That's right.
You know, he's dying on the cross, and what does the one thief say? He call your angels, and he could have done that. At any moment, he could have won if winning was what mattered most to him, you know, but he was willing to lose by our definition. In order that we could win. So he laid down his life. And that is the language that he uses. You know, he says whoever wants to gain life or find their life. And I just kind of, when I think of that, I just think of the posture that I am so tempted to live by, and that I see kind of our world living by, is just grasping for whatever we can achieve, hold, value, what makes us feel good, and just clinging to that so tightly and desperately searching. And that's kind of the visual that I get when Jesus says, you know, whoever's trying to gain life and achieve life. And I just see that. And I think each of us and each of you listening can identify with that in some way, a time in life where you were just trying to desperately find life, gain life. But there's maybe a pleasure in a season for that, but ultimately it doesn't lead to the life and joy. And so Jesus's challenge, it seems, well, it is countercultural, right? It seems counter to our nature, but that's a nature we surrender to the Lord. Our nature is, well, no, we gain life by doing, by grabbing, by achieving, by buying, by, you know, but Jesus says, no, if you're trying to gain your life, you're going to lose it. But if you're willing to lose your life, lay down your life for me. And that's, I mean, Jesus demonstrated that more later than they would even understand in that moment. But that's the call to be a disciple. Lay down your life. Lay down your life. Take up your cross. And And that looks different for everybody, right? I think we don't always know what that means. I don't think it always means the same thing in every season. There are brothers and sisters around the world that has literally meant that they've lost their life. They've laid down their life in such a way that, and, you know, is the Lord going to ask that of us? I don't know.
That's maybe, right?
We don't know. Yeah. But we really can't answer what that means for tomorrow and what that means for the future. But we can just know what that means today. Lord, what does it mean today for me to lay down my life? The things that don't please you, maybe good things in my life. But I have to lay them down in such a way that I trust you with them and believe that your way is best. And because of what you've done for me on the cross, because you bore my cross, my sin, my shame, I'm going to lay down my life and trust you with it rather than trying to live for myself.
Yeah. I think just really simply, I'm thinking back to the book Seth Haynes wrote on the book of Waking Up and Coming Clean, which were really great books. But he talks about that our affections have a divine order. And it's God first. Yeah. It's not that everything is wrong, but what's first in your life? And are you surrendering to allowing God to be first in your life and letting him order everything? Or, you know, in my own life recently, I've realized that there are some things that, you know, maybe I thought I dealt with all them before, but sometimes you find yourself again, like, and I say white knuckling, maybe that's just control or whatever, but it's when we haven't said, you know what, God, you're first. You are the first person. I want my affections to be to you. And then whatever you allow in my life is great. And that's really hard. And that's really what Jesus was saying when he was in Gethsemane. I want to be, Lord, you know, I want what you want.
Not my will, right?
My will, but yours be done. I want what you want. And that is not easy. And we see Jesus wrestle with that and surrender.
Yeah.
You know, it was love for his Father, the love for his Father and for us. Yeah. But it was Father first.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about surrender, Pastor Margaret. I just think, you know, because he laid down his life for us, we lay down our lives for him.
Yeah.
And Pastor Adrian, you were talking about him sacrificing his life on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. I think of the song, Love Demands a Sacrifice. Like, you know, he could have called down from heaven and he could have come off the cross. He could have called those powers down, but he didn't because he realized it wasn't a physical or earthly battle. It was a spiritual battle. And in order to win that battle, it required his life.
That's the word of Holy Week, isn't it? Sacrifice. Yeah, I always want to be careful because there might be some today that would even feel like, as you're listening or hearing us talk, that we have to somehow earn our salvation. You know, like that this sacrifice that we're talking about is a means for us to find our salvation. And that's not at all what the gospel says. We're saved by faith. Through Christ, it's what he's done. It's grace. We can't earn it.
That's
I just want to be clear. That's not what any of us have said, and that's not our heart. The call to take up our cross and follow is not, it's not a means to salvation. It's a response. Like, okay, because of what you've done. And it's the way to find joy and peace. And again, that's so countercultural because we think the way to find joy is to live for me, do what feels good, do what makes me happy, you know, in quotes, in the moment. That's why it's so important to hear that call of Jesus, because, you know, it's as if he's saying that that's not going to lead you to the joy you're seeking. That's not going to give you the peace you're wanting. That's not going to give you, and certainly there's people listening today. Maybe you know Jesus. I pray you do. Maybe the message of Easter isn't new, but maybe you're not really experiencing the joy. I'll be honest, there's seasons of life. I'm not sure that word would describe my reality moment to moment. You know, you're not alone in that. Peace, you know, there's just in our world today, there's an absence of peace. There's people desperate for that. And maybe you're listening today and you know the truth, you know what this week is really about, but maybe like the world around us, your tendency is to try to find life or find peace or find joy. And today, if you're just wrestling with that, I would just encourage you to remember, yes, the sacrifice of Jesus, but then his call, his invitation to ultimately trust him, lay down your life in such a way that you can find it. And I, as much as that is a decision that we make, it's true, but that's it's a moment by moment daily decision too. And so there might be some today, maybe you've made that decision before, but if you take an inventory today of your life, maybe there's not the joy, maybe there's not the peace. And it's not because you don't have faith. It's not because you don't love the Lord, but maybe it's because in this area of surrender, in this area of trust, there's something new that the Lord, and that this is for me, it's a regular journey of, okay, Lord, I trust you. Help me in these ways to trust you fully and experience what it is to lay down my life.
Yeah, that's a good word. It's certainly a week that we need to be thinking about that. And, you know, the cost is different at different times in our life. Okay. And I think about Stephen, you know, who it won't be too long until, you know, in scripture, until we see he had to lay his life down, and people still do. We were challenged in our life group just talking about that. What does that look like? Like, just the seeds that are planted in the lives of others when we lay down our life. Yeah. You know, what does that look like? I know that there are people in my life that minister to me greatly, and still do, because I watch their life and I see the joy and the peace they have, and they're not hanging on to the things of this world, but they're hanging on to Jesus and trusting him. And so I'm grateful for God's word and for Simon of Cyrene, who we look at today and see he was obedient in the moment. He didn't see it coming when he left home that morning. But he was going to have to carry a cross, and he might not even knew what it was about, but he did it. There was something within him that he didn't argue, but there was a surrender in, I will do this. And when we go through our day to day, if I know for myself, and maybe I'm the only one, but sometimes I want to do things the way I want to. God calls us to lay that down, and to look through the lens of loving the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. And in that gives us enough for every day, just to be faithful to that in these days. I think that is one. It's the great commandment, right? It's what God calls us to, and I'm convicted of that and am grateful for community and for not walking this journey alone, but being able to be with the people of our communities where we walk together. Not necessarily, I'm grateful for my church, but the church is so much bigger than that in these days. And let's be light.
Pastor Adrian or Pastor Margaret, any kind of, as we wrap up here, any thoughts kind of in closing on this topic, or anything that hasn't been shared already that you want to share?
No, I would just, you know, in summary, remind every person listening today that it was your cross that Jesus ultimately bore. And in response to that, we have a choice how we live, how we respond. And my choice today, my desire, my heart's cry is, Lord, I want to lay down my life. I want to trust you with my life. I'm willing to take up whatever cross, whatever that looks like, and this season and this day, help me, Lord, to be faithful now in this moment to do what that looks like. And that's my prayer leading into this week, coming out of this week for me, for those that I love, for those that I don't even know yet, but I pray in this week get to hear and experience the power of the message.
Well, Pastor Adrian, thank you for joining Pastor Margaret and I today and just sharing your heart with us. It's been great to have you.
Yeah, so good to be with you guys.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Pastor Margaret, Pastor Adrian, and I talk today about Simon of Cyrene, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast of Hope Talks. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe for updates and the latest episodes. Also, if you're in the Harrisonburg-Rockingham County area, we invite you to listen on the radio each Sunday at noon on 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX.